And good morning. This is Magneto Mel. You are listening to EAA Radio, 1210 AM, 100.7 FM, and on the web at airventure.org/radio. And this is our Push to Talk Hour, where we discuss various air traffic control matters with our, I guess, some local and some not so local. And today we're definitely stretching out a little bit farther from our immediate area here. We talked to you earlier, Lutz, on, was it Monday or Tuesday? I don't remember.
Yes.
Yeah, it was Monday or Tuesday. Yeah, great. So we have Lutz Pritchell, who does air traffic control across the pond there for Frankfurt, right?
Yeah. Frankfurt,
So, and then we also have Chuck Adams.
Very
See?
Good.
See?
Got the name
I got
right.
the name
got
right
the
today.
Good job.
And I don't even necessarily have it in front of me. And Bob Knowles. For people who are just tuning in, who haven't been listening all week, if we remind people what your facilities are and where you normally do what you do.
Left or right? Okay. Chuck Adams, what do I normally do? I'm an air traffic controller, Grand Forks, North Dakota. Home of the Fighting Sioux.
And the tower there, a little plug.
just a VFR control tower. The Air Force Base actually does our approach control service for us. We've got a really, really good working relationship.
But it's not just a VFR control tower. You guys are busy.
Yeah, we are busy. Actually, out of, I don't know, what are there, 400 and some odd towers across the country, we're rated 48th, I think, something like that. We do about 300,000 ops a year. So it's pretty good. Some days are as busy as O'Hare. We've had 2,500 ops in a day, which is hopping.
That is. I was gonna say that is pretty busy.
It's a lot of fun.
That's why we do it.
Yeah, that's exactly why.
And they pay us.
Yeah, and in the bonus. Isn't that a bonus?
Getting paid for doing something
Getting
you
paid
like?
For something that you love to do.
Imagine that.
I can live with it and support that one. Yeah.
And then coming out here and talking to all the pilots. That's just.
It is.
That's just extra.
Actually, the reason he's coming out is to tell us about the fun stuff he's been doing back home with those Chinese pilots, right? Chuck's done some awesome intimidation there. He's just explained to us how the guys were flying out, which was pretty interesting.
Yeah, the university has gone out and gotten contracts with China Airlines, Taiwan Airlines, Japan Airlines. They've got contracts coming with the Saudi Arabians to do helicopter training. And the language barrier has become a rather fun issue. It's fun. It's a good time.
Well, they've had contracts with those people for a long time. I used to work up in Bismarck, and we'd get Asian-speaking people, for lack of a better way to say it, show up and right when we're getting ready to close and want to do multiple approaches.
Like, yeah, that was the old dynasty.
Contracts.
Those were the Taiwanese students. That was a dynasty contract, and then they actually used the dynasty telephony because they were considered company aircraft.
Oh, okay.
And they actually had Great Lakes Aviation at that time. They contracted with them, and they'd go out and fly the Beech 1900.
Yeah.
And that lasted until the instructor with a plane full of people pulled the engine on the student, and then that contract went away.
Okay.
Well, we sure glad that those guys are getting training here, because I work with China Airlines a lot, and anything that gets their English up to scratch is, hey, it's welcome.
Yeah.
Because their English is marginal in some of the...
Well, I mean, it's the difference in being able to form the letters and they don't get the same... They don't have the same consonants and the same vowels and the usage that we do.
Yeah, it's a motor skill, not just a cognitive.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not unintelligent. They're incredibly, but it's just a very difficult thing for them to do, to be able to form the language.
Actually, I find that the guys like China Airlines is way different to, for instance, Japan Air. Japan Air, the guys are really sharp, and it's not about how you pronounce the stuff that we find. It's the way, whether you actually know what's going on. And you find with some of these airlines that you just get the feeling they don't really know what's going on, and the English is not good enough to actually understand basic stuff. The Japan Air guys are great. I get them on a regular basis, and we never have a hassle with them. Those guys are really professional, and they know what they're doing, even though they might not pronounce the stuff.
Right.
But you never get the feeling that they don't know what's going down.
Right. Yeah. And I will say that, and I'm sorry, but they do, if you keep it to the simple standard, they're very, very good, as long as you don't elaborate or use plain language to try and make them understand. If you use simple terminology like fly northbound, turn right, turn left, turn
the common phraseology.
Degrees.
It's when you get off the common basic. Phraseology is where
exactly.
you start having
and that's
which
they
we
have
do.
The
I mean, yeah. As pilots here, and right. Like I said, I've been Thanksgiving, I've gotten information turkey, I believe. And aside from that, but even just the no joy,
right?
And things that are very common to us when we're flying, you know, how do you mm-hmm. have that insight? No joy. That's not standard. And
absolutely.
People don't understand that just because we're accustomed to it doesn't mean that anybody coming here can just jump in. And
it is going to change, though, because you probably don't have a thing about it here, but ICAO has actually implemented language tests.
I was just going to say that 2008, we definitely have heard about it here. We did a lot of...
I think we need to get more into this because we had several people come by, several foreign visitors come by the NACA booth here in the last couple of days and asking about that. And I know you've been doing some work on this, Lou. So.
Yeah, it's actually a program called LPEC. It's a language test. I don't exactly know what LPEC stands for. Really what it is ICAO said we need to define a standard
right.
of English. And the good thing about it is it's not phraseology. It's actually understanding and comprehending. And it's a 15-minute test. You can take it online. There's actually Eurocontrol has an online website where you can look in and do the test online. The whole idea behind it, it's not going to be it's not really a test in terms of somebody's testing you, more like an assessment. There's 6 grades from 1 to 6. 6 is native English speaker, so they'll assess you once. They'll grade you, and if you're a 6, you never have to do it again. If you're a 5, you have to do it every, I think, 4 years, and if you're a 4, every 3 years. And then it just... the
And 1, 2, and 3 is not proficient enough.
In Frankfurt, we've been told at least a 4. So if you work in German, or if you work in the busier airports, you have to have at least a Category 4. And we've assessed about 250 of the controllers in Germany, and I think... there were like 2 guys that were Category 3 and otherwise everybody else was 4 or 5.
Where did you rank?
I haven't been assessed yet, so.
You don't like the answer. You don't ask the question, huh?
That's just out there where I'm going at.
Oh, well, so the instructor doesn't have to go down that road. I see how that works. Okay.
But just for these people that came by the booth and I wasn't able to give them a good answer, where can we access this information on where they can learn this, get brushed up on it, take
the
test?
Well, you know,
the
whole thing, it's not about learning. That's exactly what it's... It's just an assessment. And what they're trying to do is they put you in a situation where it's really like having a 15-minute conversation and somebody will sit and talk to you and they'll talk to you about... What they normally do is they show you a picture, and the one I've seen is they'll show you a tug pushing a 747, and then you'll see some dark clouds in the background, and then she'll say, whoever's doing the assessment, say, well, what does this picture say to you? And what they don't want, there's no yes, no, maybe, whatever. You need to get into detail. And they want to keep it aviation related, but they don't want it phraseology. So the point of it is that if you have a problem, that you can... describe your problem in such a way that somebody can help you. So if you have an unusual, because this is where we have a problem, is when people have, when things go pie-shaped and it's not just engine failure or not just this, but somebody's having a heart attack. And then the people can't, we've had pilots and...
Well, one of the examples we had was somebody had a fire in the cockpit, but they had flames coming out of the vents. But he couldn't explain that.
Yeah, that was right. That was one of the examples we had. We had a piper going down a couple of years back, and he had a cockpit fire, and it was actually coming out of the hot air vents, and he didn't know how to explain that, and he got into such a knot about the thing that you could just see he wasn't... hot air vents, how do I explain that? Well, there's flames in the cockpit, and we didn't know how to deal with that. And we found out, the Accident Investigation Board found out afterwards, if they just closed the hot air vents, it would have been fine, at least long enough to get down onto the ground. As it turned out, they came up short of the runway and the people on board didn't make it. So we looked into that incident and we said, well, here was a clear case where people, their English was just not good enough. There was an incident in France where shorts on the runway, somebody went right through with a wing tore through the cabin and actually killed one of the crew. Again, it was a case of they were speaking English, there was French going on, and there wasn't, you know, there was miscommunication. But we find that when people get into tight situations, their English is just not up to scratch. And this is what the LPEC test wants to do. It wants to get you to a point where you can at least describe basically what your problem is, and then we can try and help you out. And so the idea is really good. In terms of how it's going to be implemented and what's going to end up happening, we don't really know
yet. Have they actually really got it started yet then, or...?
Well, they have in Germany. We've done the assessments for the greater part. Most of the guys are up to about, I think we've probably assessed a quarter of the people. There was an implementation date by 2008, but as these things always happen, they've been pushed back a little.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. I did a little work on this for the FAA. That was my project is investigating the use of English among non-native international flights. Of course, you can't tell if they're. We had all the British in there as well, so you know, because you just have to do that. But as he was saying, it has nothing to do with the phraseology,
right.
But it's just they had I think six different categories of assessment: pronunciation, comprehension, and you get a rating in each of these separate categories of one through six. So somebody who goes with a three, they might not. It's not just a blanket three across the board. Maybe they got that three because their pronunciation wasn't quite up to
they understood
to par.
But they couldn't say it.
Their comprehension was fine, or their grammar was fine. Their fluency. Again, there were six different areas of assessment.
Yeah, and what they've also done is they've obviously worked on a study program to get people, for instance, from a three to a four, and they've actually had to work out. And we work together in, at least they do in Germany. They're working together with language schools and saying, well, what do we need? What are our requirements to get somebody from, say, a two to a three? Now, that hasn't happened in our case, but we do have cases where people are a three. And we said, well, what do we need to do to get them to a four? And we need a structured course that actually deals with this kind of a thing to get these people from a grade three up to grade four. Uh-huh. And we found generally you need like 4 weeks of schooling to get from a three to a four.
Mm-hmm.
So for people who are sitting at a one and a two, it's also pretty comprehensive. It's not just a, you know, 2 weeks in and out, you really have to get in there. And if it gets done properly and implemented, it's certainly, I think, one of the big safety assets, and it'll certainly make our lives a lot easier.
Oh, yes, okay. Certainly.
Well, we're going to take a quick break here, and you're listening to the Push to Talk Air Traffic Control Hour. We've got Bob Knowles and Chuck Adams and Lutz Pritchow, and we're discussing international air traffic control operations and concerns here on EAA Radio 100.7 FM 1210 AM and on the web at airventure.org/radio.